uplift your thought. With courage go, give of your heart, rich overflow, and peace shall crown your joy-filled day. Come walk with love along the way.
Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon, too. I'm so happy to welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all across the universe. We are delighted that you have joined us as a joint heir in this haven of inspiration. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, you can click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Now let's continue in song with singing and listening to hymn number 151.
To do thy will is greater than sacrifice can be. Oh, give me needed courage, sweet with sincerity. From earthly thought released, in speechless prayer and reverence, dear Lord, I come to thee.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is, You're Always Filled with Divine Courage. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and the correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And here's our reading from the Holy Bible, Deuteronomy. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. From Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. From Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in them. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Acts. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain, and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to them, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Psalms. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. 1 Chronicles. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And from science and health, there is too much animal courage in society and not sufficient moral courage. Christians must take up arms against error at home and abroad. They must grapple with sin in themselves and in others and continue this warfare until they have finished their course. If they keep the faith, they will have the crown of rejoicing. Christian experience teaches faith in the right and disbelief in the wrong. It bids us work the more earnestly in times of persecution, because then our labor is more needed. The broadest facts array the most falsities against themselves, for they bring error from undercover. It requires courage to utter truth, for the higher truth lifts her voice, the louder will error scream, until its inarticulate sound is forever silenced in oblivion. Moral courage is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king of the mental realm. Free and fearless, it roams in the forest. Undisturbed, it lies in the open field or rests in green pastures beside the still waters. In the figurative transmission from the divine thought to the human, diligence, promptness, and perseverance are likened to the cattle upon 1,000 hills. They carry the baggage of stern resolve and keep pace with highest purpose. Understanding the control which love held over all, Daniel felt safe in the lion's den, and Paul proved the viper to be harmless. all of God's creatures moving in the harmony of science are harmless, useful, indestructible. A realization of this grand verity was a source of strength to the ancient worthies. It supports Christian healing and enables its possessor to emulate the example of Jesus. At all times and under all circumstances, overcome evil with good. Know thyself, and God will supply the wisdom and the occasion for a victory over evil. Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you. If we wish to follow Christ's truth, it must be in the way of God's appointing. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." He who would reach the source and find the divine remedy for every ill must not try to climb the hill of science by some other road. All nature teaches God's love to man, but man cannot love God supremely and set his whole affections on spiritual things while loving the material or trusting in it more than in the spiritual. The purpose and motive to live aright can be gained now. This point one, you have started as you should. You have begun at the numeration table of Christian science, and nothing but wrong intention can hinder your advancement. Working and praying with true motives, your Father will open the way. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Saul of Tarsus beheld the way, the Christ or truth. Only when his uncertain sense of right yielded to a spiritual sense, which is always right, then the man was changed. Thought assumed a nobler outlook, and his life became more spiritual. Fear of punishment never made man truly honest. Moral courage is requisite to meet the wrong and to proclaim the right. But how shall we reform the man who is more animal than moral courage, and who is not the true idea of good? Stick to the truth of being, in contradistinction to the error that life, substance, or intelligence can be in matter. Plead with an honest conviction of truth and a clear perception of the unchanging, unerring, and certain effect of divine science. Then, if your fidelity is half equal to the truth of your plea, you will heal the sick. It must be clear to you that sickness is no more the reality of being than is sin. This mortal dream of sickness, sin, and death should cease through Christian science, and one disease would be as readily destroyed as another. Moses, a corporeal mortal, moral courage. Understanding spiritual law and knowing that there is no material law, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." It were well had Christendom believed and obeyed this sacred saying. There is no hypocrisy in science. Principle is imperative. You cannot mock it by human will. Science is a divine demand, not a human. Always right, its divine principle never repents, but maintains the claim of truth by quenching error. God is what the scriptures declare him to be: life, truth, love. Spirit is divine principle, and divine principle is love. And love is mind, and mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind, Therefore, there is in reality one mind only, because there is one God. Evil is nothing, no thing, mind nor power. Never tell the sick that they have more courage than strength. Tell them, rather, that their strength is in proportion to their courage. If you make the sick realize this great truism, there will be no reaction from overexertion or from excited conditions. Maintain the facts of Christian Science that spirit is God and therefore cannot be sick, that what is termed matter cannot be sick, that all causation is mind acting through spiritual law, and hold your ground with the unshaken understanding of truth and love, and you will win. Explain audibly to your patients as soon as they can bear it the complete control which mind holds over the body. Show them how mortal mind seems to induce disease by certain fears and false conclusions, and how divine mind can cure by opposite thoughts. Give your patients an underlying understanding to support them and to shield them from the baneful effects of their own conclusions. Your true course is to destroy the foe and leave the field to God, life, truth, and love, remembering that God and His ideas alone are real and harmonious. Meet every adverse circumstance as its master. Instruct the sick that they are not helpless victims. For if they will only accept truth, they can resist disease and ward it off as positively as they can the temptation to sin. The fact that truth overcomes both disease and sin reassures depressed hope. It imparts a healthy stimulus to the body and regulates the system. It increases or diminishes the action, as the case may require, better than any drug, alterative, or tonic. Tell the sick that they can meet disease fearlessly if they only realize that divine love gives them all power over every physical action and condition. The metaphysician, making mind his basis of operation, irrespective of matter and regarding the truth and harmony of being as superior to error and discord, has rendered himself strong instead of weak to cope with the case, and he proportionately strengthens his patient with the stimulus of courage and conscious power. Both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. Every trial of our faith in God makes us stronger. The more difficult seems the material condition to be overcome by spirit, the stronger should be our faith and the purer our love. The Apostle John says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Here is a definite and inspired proclamation of Christian Science.